Welcome to the Treasury of Solomon, where we go verse by verse for the book of Proverbs to find the wisdom that God has for us. Today's verse is Proverbs 1 and 18. It says, "And they lay wait for their own blood, they work privily for their own lives." This verse is the third and last dissuasive argument that is given in opposition to the temptations and enticements made by the sinful highway robbers to their hoped-for recruit. This verse is an interesting and a forceful way to repudiate the claims of the sinners. It's a direct repudiation of their initial and foundational claim to the prospective new recruit. Verse 11 tells us, "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us work privily for the innocent without cause.'" We find here the same wording, which is reminiscent of their initial argument in favor of their way of life, lay wait and work privily. Solomon saved this argument for the last, simply for the fact that it destroys the wicked man's argument. It overthrows it from the foundation. This gives the man a new view of this. It gives him a more complete view of both sides of the story, meaning that he can now make an informed decision of which way he wants to go. Youth is a time prone to making foolish, uninformed decisions, but when seeing the clear dangers and futility of going down such a dangerous path with the wicked, only the most foolish and most dense would even give consideration to such a life as they present here. The first thing we have to look at is the phrase, "and they lay wait." As we saw weeks back, when looking at verse 11 in the Hebrew, it means to ambush. This has to do with the element of surprise, suddenly coming upon an unsuspecting person, hoping to use the element of surprise against them, giving them no time or space to properly respond. This way they get the upper hand, and they can do what they will with little or no resistance. They want to catch the traveler off guard. They want him when he's unprotected and unsuspecting of an attack. That's why they use the ambush technique, and its use throughout history, even till today, proves that it's an effective and a useful tool for those living this type of lifestyle. The odd thing here, though, is how the ambush is directed. It's not directed towards someone else or their blood. It's directed towards himself. Their own blood is what they're after. That's not the mindset they're going into the work with, but that's the result. And the mindset means nothing, and the result testifies to something completely different. Results are always what matters. They think that they're ambushing innocent travelers, and that may be the natural physical manifestation of what they're doing. But in the spiritual sense, they're ambushing themselves, which also reveals another aspect of the devil's attacks. He doesn't just attack you himself. He doesn't just make you set your own bait and your own net to ensnare you. On top of all of that, he gets you to ambush and attack yourself. That's when you know that he has full control of a man's life. When the man will attack himself the same way the devil would have, that man is heavily under demonic influence to the point where he's lost control of his mind, his heart, and his will. He's just the vessel for the devil to do with him as he pleases. It's a sad state to be in. They're after their own blood, which shows the strange, sadistic, masochistic tendency and inclination of the wicked men's hearts. They were inflicting pain upon themselves, hurting, even destroying themselves, and finding pleasure and happiness in it all the while. They were so blinded by the goal of finding treasure and wealth that anything and everything else fell by the wayside, including their own souls. What's the significance of their being after their own blood? The blood, as we've looked at before in the Hebrew, means that which being shed causes death. This is revealing because it means that they weren't just bruising themselves or wounding themselves. They were killing themselves by their actions. They were bringing about their own physical and even spiritual death by putting themselves on a road that they knew led to an ignominious, miserable, painful end. It wasn't just a partial harm being brought about. It wasn't a temporary harm. It was a total and eternal harm, eternal destruction that was the result of going down this path. The next thing we have to do is look at the second half of this verse. They work privily for their own lives. The first phrase that sticks out is "work privily." In the Hebrew, it means to hide, treasure up. The concordance goes further to say that it means to hoard, reserve, deny, to hide by covering over, to protect. This is very revealing. This is what they think they're doing. They think that they're laying up for themselves wealth and treasure. They think that they're protecting themselves from ever falling into want. And they think that they're covering their tracks so well that they'll never be caught or face repercussions for their actions. They're laying up treasures for themselves. Jesus says in Matthew 6 and 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Not only are they laying up treasures for themselves to fulfill their carnal, selfish desire to just have substance, but on top of that, they're serving and under the influence of the one who himself steals, kills, and destroys. Two verses later, Jesus gets to the problem at the heart of this. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Their heart is for the world. Their heart is for the here and now. Their heart is for the temporal. That's why they don't care enough to lay up heavenly treasures. They want nothing to do with heaven, and they make that abundantly clear for their actions. They let the enemy blind them into thinking that living in luxury for the here and now is the highest ideal, while missing out on the eternity that they could have had. They're looking to their treasures and their wealth to save them, not knowing that in doing so, they only further cement their own destruction. The last phrase is for their own lives. In the Hebrew, this word means soul. The concordance also says that it means a living being, life, self, person, desire, passion, appetite, emotion. This is what they're destroying. They're destroying everything that makes them who they actually are, everything that makes them an individual. That's what the devil is really after. He doesn't want you to be yourself. He doesn't want you to be your own person with your own mind and your own emotions. He wants you to just mindlessly submit, to think what he says to think, to do what he says to do, and to say what he says to say. As long as you can think for yourself, you have some level of freedom, some level of autonomy. But when you lose that ability, either through compulsion or willingly, you cease to be free. You become a slave. The inability to think freely is always the grave hallmark of slavery. They foolishly trade who they are for their wealth and the treasures of the world. Mark chapter 8 verses 36 to 37 say, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" They fall for the lie that wealth and treasures will give them all that they really want and all that they're really looking for in life, only to find that in the end, that same wealth and those same treasures destroys them and they're left with nothing, which is testified to not only by the lives of these wicked men, but also by the lives of all wicked men throughout all of history. Their end is always the same, their story so disturbingly similar that you can't help but see the devil's monotonous pattern working through its sinister subtlety to destroy their lives while they're too occupied accruing meaningless, worthless treasures in the meantime. This is a self-destructive lifestyle that has no benefits, only downsides. But the good news is that the Lord loved us enough to give us these proverbs so that we can see these lies for what they are and avoid this foolish pathway to hell. We're free to go with Jesus, taking the narrow way to life everlasting. Let's close in prayer. Lord, today we thank you for the Proverbs, and we thank you for the wisdom that you give to us as we read them, where we ask that the Holy Spirit illuminate our hearts and our minds as we read your word, so that we better understand and comprehend what we read. Lord, we thank you that as we read your Proverbs, that you expose to us the frailty and the futility of going with these wicked men, of following them down their dangerous, evil path. Lord, we thank you that you give us the wisdom and the understanding and also the courage and the strength to say no when they try to implore us to go with them. Lord, we thank you that you set us apart, that you made us a peculiar treasure unto yourself, and that you protect us from falling for these lies and the deceptions of the enemy. Lord, today we make up our minds, we make the choice, and we make our desire known that we want to go down your path, the path of righteousness, and that we want to pick up our cross and follow you. And Lord, we thank you that you lead and guide us into all truth and that you hold our hand all the way through. And Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Remember before you leave to hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and remember to like and comment below. The wisest thing we can ever do is give our lives to Christ and be born again. If you want to have Jesus as a part of your life today, all you need to do is to invite him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. You trust him that you're forgiven, and you choose to live for him who died for you. We'll see you next time as we continue to explore the treasury of Solomon and study the King's Word together.